So how have residents and businesses in Epsom and Ewell coped with the through the pandemic, but also with the relaxation of lockdown?
I think there's been a really strong sense of community. There's always a strong sense of community locally here, but it's been very noticeable in the way that people have come together to volunteer, to help each other, local businesses delivering meals to the health service, but also delivering meals to elderly people who can't get out of their homes. There's been a huge local effort from the voluntary sector. There's been just neighbour-to-neighbour support. It's been a really good example of how a community can come together to work at a time of national crisis.
Have businesses struggled? A lot of the high streets are losing shops.
Funny enough, I mean, although there are clearly pressures, and a lot of the smaller businesses in Epsom had a very tough time and have been helped by grants, they've been helped by the fellow scheme, but I'd be lying if I said there aren't a lot of businesses under huge pressure, particularly in the hospitality sector, particularly people in the event sector. They've had a very difficult time. It's not been as bad in Epsom as I feared it might be on the retail front. I think partly because more people are working from home. People work from home during the pandemic. More people are working from home now. And I think more people are going to work from home going forwards. And so actually, in between the kind of most acute lockdowns, there's been a greater footfall in the centre of Epsom. Not always the case. There have been tough times during the past 18 months as well. But I'm cautiously optimistic about the town centre in Epsom and about town centres in Ewell and Stoneleigh. Ewell has been a particular concern to me for a while, but it's good to see some new businesses moving into the centre of Ewell now, which I think will really bring some extra life to the village.
Why do you think Epsom's fared better than some other towns?
I think it's just by being a bit further out. There's been a move away from the centre of London. People have wanted to move to an area with more space. You know, if you take the property market in Epsom and Ashtead and up on the Downs in Norton Tatton's at the moment, there are very few properties in the market by comparison with historic standards. And that's because there's been a real demand for people to move out, just get that bit more space because of the pandemic. And I think that's helped some local businesses. Now, that doesn't mean there are problems. I know one local pub that had hundreds of cancellations before Christmas with the new restrictions that were introduced, which I did not support. But on the whole, I don't underplay the challenge that many businesses face, but it's not as bad as I feared it would be.
Do you think slashing the isolation time to 5 days is going to significantly help businesses, and it's going to help enough?
I certainly hope so. But look, the reality is I think we've now reached the point. I don't underplay the issues of the pandemic, but every year in this country, perhaps not this year, but most years in this country, we have a flu outbreak. Flu is a deadly disease for some. It's a disease that leaves some people in hospital. But for most people, it's something that comes and goes. And the reality is, COVID is going to become like that. And I think with this new variant, is becoming like that. We have to live with it. We can't spend the rest of our lives in masks. We can't spend the rest of our lives with restrictions. We have to get back to normal. And my view is that the reduction of the isolation period to 5 days is the right thing to do. And before too long, the isolation period is going to have to go altogether.
If someone came into the office, into a small office, and they knew they had COVID...
Right now, of course not. But before too long, we're going to have to get to that point. We can't be in a situation going forwards where as this virus becomes what's called endemic rather than pandemic, we keep national rules on isolation. We keep test and trace systems in place. We don't do it for flu. We don't do it for our other illnesses. We're not going to be able to do it forever with this illness. So no, of course not right now. Right now, the 5-day approach is a sensible one. But before too long, if we're going to return to normal, that part of the restriction is going to have to go as well. And we have to trust people's own judgment.
And have you spoken to Epsom Hospital at all? How have they coped during the pandemic?
So I've been in regular contact with the hospital. I think they've done an amazing job. They did a particularly amazing job because they became the sharp end of the response locally. Because they have more modern facilities, particularly around the provision of oxygen, much of the Epsom St Helier Trust focus in dealing with the most seriously ill fell upon Epsom. And the staff there reacted extraordinarily well. The South West London Elective Orthopaedic Centre Sweliop was converted into an expanded intensive care unit. I think they've done a fantastic job. But they're now, I mean, I talk regularly still to the people who run the hospital. The pressures are less than they were at the acute at the time of the most acute part of the pandemic. But they still face enormous pressures. huge backlog of elective work, a lot of people waiting for treatment for a long period of time. So I think they've done a very good job. They've actually done a very good job of bringing down many of their waiting times, but there's a long way to go.
So moving on to South Western Railway, and the bigger issue is that they're reducing their timetable for 2022, well, from December. This is coming at a time when train travel has been low during the pandemic. People have been working from home. People haven't been using the train. Is this a fair time to launch a new timetable based on the fact that they're saying, you know, the amount of people using the trains is lower?
Well, I've been in full battle with South Western Railway over this. There are fewer people travelling by train, far fewer people today. There will probably be fewer people in future because more people are likely to work from home 1 or 2 days a week. But actually, our line has remained very congested. There's overcrowding on many trains. I've seen picture after picture sent to me by constituents of trains that are bursting at the seams, even now, even with reduced footfall. So I think South Western Railway are absolutely wrong to be planning long-term reductions in the timetable in the way that they are. And I've seen the Transport Minister, the Rail Minister about this. I've seen the company a number of times. I'm particularly concerned about peak times where we're losing a number of trains. And I'm working very hard to try and get some or all of them back, at least some of them back. I don't think our line is going to be as busy going forwards as it has been in the past. But the level of reduction in services is just too much. Of course, there's also issues around Southern as well, because we have both routes locally, that the Southern services have generally been better recently, up to the Christmas period when, of course, we had the Southern closure of Victoria Station, and we seem to take steps backwards. I'm putting pressure on them to get the services back to normal as quickly as possible. I know there's issues right now with staff absences that we have to accept, but we need to get both routes back to as normal as possible, as quickly as possible, and to get away from the limitations of the proposed timetable for the future.
A reduced timetable is operating on South Western Railway. It's a mixture, they say, of COVID absences and other factors. But that's sort of driving people to work from home. And what about the people who can't work from home?
Well, indeed. I had a very robust exchange with South Western about 2 weeks ago when it became clear they were going to introduce a temporary timetable. And they promised me the Epsom line would not be affected in the way other lines would be. And so, you know, and I'm going to keep that pressure up. I mean, they get the point, I think, that the Epsom line is busy up to now. I don't think they're planning to go backwards on it. My job is to get them to go forwards on it.
What are the reasons why? I mean, obviously there's COVID and staff shortages, but I'm guessing overall this is a funding thing.
Well, yes, of course it's a funding thing because most of our trains are subsidised by the taxpayer, by people who don't travel by train. And the sensible question in the Treasury, and it is a sensible question, is how much money do we want to put into running trains that are mostly empty? On our line, that's not the case. There are places where you have services that are running mostly empty and where there is the opportunity to streamline the timetable a bit. But let's not go too far anywhere. And certainly on our route, we have not got the capacity to do this. We already had big capacity problems before the pandemic. We can't suddenly take out large swathes of the timetable and expect this line to work properly. And that will drive more people to work from home and it'll disadvantage those who can't.
And also all the people that moved out a bit further to Epsom and the surrounding areas during the pandemic, but still hoping to work from London, out of London, that's a bit of a blow, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's why we've got to get as many of these peak time trains back as possible.
And it wasn't so long...
get as good as possible.
And it wasn't so long ago, you know, we're talking about rezoning Epsom, Oyster cards, all of that. Do you think this is going to affect that in the long run?
Well, Epsom's got the Oyster card now. It took a long time to get that. The challenge, of course, is that if you start to rezone, it costs a lot of money. So I'd be lying if I thought that was a short-term prospect. Because at the moment, the issue in the railways is that because so many fewer people are travelling, large chunks of revenue have disappeared, and that means the taxpayer has to provide more and more support. But at least we've got Oyster cards for Epsom, and that was a big step forward.
So moving on to crime, Surrey Police has set up, Epsom Neil Police as well in conjunction, they've set up this crime survey. I guess a lot of it has come in the wake of Sarah Everard's murder. A lot of police forces up and down the country are reviewing their crime policies and the way they work with the wider public. Do you think crime is a big issue in Epsom?
I mean, what I'd say, look, the Epsom area remains relatively a low crime area. So people should not think they're living in a crime zone because they're not. There are problems. And there are problems that come and go. There have been times over my time as an MP when the big issue has been antisocial behaviour. That's less the case at the moment. Probably the biggest problem in recent years has been acquisitive burglary coming across the London border into northern parts of the Epsom Neale Borough and neighbouring boroughs, a theft of catalytic converters and cars, which has been a particular problem. So gangs targeting the area as a slightly softer area than London, which has led to some pretty serious outbreaks of crime, where we've had to kind of put pressure on Surrey Police to ramp up their resources locally and to really target the problems. There have also been some very unpleasant incidents recently. There have been some stabbings. There have been some serious sexual assaults. These are happily very rare, but they do happen. And so I think it makes sense for the police to be looking at all measures that they can take and all steps they can take in partnership with the local council and the community to reduce the risk, whether that's better lighting, whether it's better CCTV, whether it's targeting patrols in the right areas. You can't prevent all risk and all eventualities, but they certainly should be trying to identify potential problems and anticipate them before they happen. And that makes the crime survey a sensible thing to do.
Do you think crime has gone up during the pandemic when we had lockdown?
I've not seen any evidence of a significantly increased problem. For me, it tends to manifest itself when people get in touch and say, look, I've been a victim of crime, nothing's happened. And yes, that does happen. But sometimes it happens because the police just don't have any evidence to go on. And you know, we don't want police chasing after a shadow when they could be preventing a crime, however frustrating that may be for the person who's been the victim of the crime. But my sense is that we do remain a relatively low crime area. I'm not aware of any particular surges. Of course, I'm aware of crimes taking place around the area. But we've always got to be careful. We've always got to be watchful. And as I say, there have been some serious incidents which need to be dealt with very properly.
Police want residents to take part in this survey. A few people we've spoken to say, what difference does my opinion really make? What would you say to people in Epsom and Ewell who are being asked to take part and contribute in this survey, and they're just not sure it's going to make a difference?
Well, the answer is that police can only work on the basis of information they've got. And if people don't know, let's take an example. If there's an alleyway where there's extensive drug dealing taking place, unless there's a police officer walks down that alleyway by chance, and there's zillions of alleyways all around the area, they may not know. So actually a survey that says, please identify problem areas in your part of the part of Surrey, part of the borough, that's got to be helpful.